This is the NPR News Update. It's Minnesota's news on your schedule. Coming up, the state ramps up efforts to contain the avian flu, including mobilizing parts of the Minnesota National Guard. Capitol reporter Tim Pugmire has a look ahead as budget talks heat up at the Capitol. And the Minnesota Wild win, and they move on in the NHL playoffs. It's Monday, April 27th. I'm John Wanamaker. The Minnesota National Guard will help deal with the containment of the avian flu in the state. The Minnesota State Emergency Operations Center called on the Guard to use 15 military water trucks to help with a foaming system that is used as part of the euthanasia of the birds. Governor Mark Dayton declared a peacetime state of emergency last week to strengthen the state's response to the flu. The outbreak is costing turkey and chicken farmers millions of dollars and raising concerns outside of agriculture as well. Litchfield resident Ed Cowley says he hopes researchers will find some answers.
It has kind of come up pretty quickly, and I'm just kind of concerned about where it is coming from. If it is the migratory birds and that kind of thing coming through, if it's their feces or whatever it is, but we got to find something to stop it soon.
So far, more than 2.6 million birds have been killed by the flu or in efforts to prevent its spread. The Guard will begin assisting today and work through Wednesday. Democrats in the Minnesota Senate are expected to release a tax proposal today that contrasts sharply with the House Republican plan. The Senate bill is expected to focus primarily on property tax relief and tax breaks aimed at helping unemployed veterans get jobs. House Republicans will vote this week on their $2 billion package of tax cuts, including several cuts that grow larger in the coming years. Capitol reporter Tim Pugmire joined Morning Edition host Phil Bacardi for a look at the week ahead.
So what's in the Senate tax bill and when will we see it?
Well, we'll see it later this morning when it gets posted online. The Senate Tax Committee plans a walkthrough of the bill on Tuesday. Lawmakers will take testimony and discuss some amendments tomorrow as well. The details are pretty sketchy at this point. The tax bill target, $460 million, which is significantly smaller than what House Republicans rolled out last week. Senate DFL leaders have made it clear they're not going to have any of the phased-in tax breaks that are in the House bill. Senate Tax Chair Rod Skoy has said the focus of the bill will be on property tax relief. He's also mentioned it'll have tax breaks to help unemployed veterans get jobs. We'll be checking to see whether the Senate takes up all or part of Governor Dayton's proposal to expand child care tax credits or his proposed assessments on railroads to help pay for crossing upgrades.
Now, we've been chewing on that House tax bill for several days. When will the House actually vote on its tax bill?
Well, it hasn't been scheduled yet, but a vote could come as soon as Wednesday. The House Ways and Means Committee moved the bill on Friday. The Senate tax bill will likely get a vote later in the week, and then the negotiations can begin to try to resolve all these big differences between the two bills.
The House agriculture bill has been held up because of the avian flu crisis. What's the status of that legislation?
Right. Well, the House Ways and Means Committee is scheduled to take it up on Tuesday. That could clear the way for the bill to reach the floor later in the week. Last week, that committee adjusted the spending target for the bill, adding $10 million for the bird flu response. We also heard from House and Senate leaders last week that they're looking for ways to give some flexibility to the Dayton administration to keep providing assistance if necessary after the legislative session ends. And one option being discussed is making the outbreak eligible for that special fund that was created to aid in weather-related disasters.
And Tim, what are the other budget bills that still need floor votes?
Well, the House will vote today on the higher education bill on Tuesday. It's public safety as well as the big health and human services bill. The Senate is taking up separate transportation finance and transportation policy bills today, and they still need to vote this week on their big education bill. Of course, the House passed its education bill over the weekend, including a notable amendment that would restrict transgender students' access to school locker rooms and bathrooms.
Hmm. I see the confirmation hearings are finally scheduled this week for the Metropolitan Council Chair and the State Commerce Commissioner. What can we expect in those hearings?
Well, Met Council Chair Adam Dunick appears before the Senate State and Local Government Committee this morning, and then on Thursday, the Senate Commerce Committee takes up the confirmation of Commerce Commissioner Mike Rothman. These are expected to be the most contentious of all the confirmation hearings so far. Senate Republicans were particularly critical of Dunick and his political ties earlier this session. During that debate, you remember, over the commissioner pay raise issue. Republicans have also been critical of Rothman over Minsure rates, and they've raised some questions about his actions related to the financial problems of Community Action of Minneapolis. So expect a lot of grilling by Republicans in these committees, but ultimately both these cabinet members should win confirmation by the full Senate.
That's Capitol reporter Tim Pugmire speaking with Morning Edition host Phil Picardi. A 36-year-old man was shot in a parking ramp at the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport after what police say was an attempt to run over police officers. Airport officials say the incident occurred at the Hertz rental car lot on the second floor of the Terminal 1 parking ramp at around 9:30 Saturday evening. Hennepin County Sheriff Rich Stanek says officers were called to the ramp, and while they were dealing with someone in one vehicle, another vehicle drove at officers twice. They shot the driver of that vehicle. Stanek says airport police have been dealing with a rash of thefts of rental vehicles.
At this time, we do not believe that this case has any ties to any Homeland Security concern.
The 36-year-old suspect is in custody awaiting charges after his release from an area hospital. An officer also suffered non-life-threatening injuries in the incident. Stanek says the Hennepin County Sheriff's Office is investigating at the request of airport police. Around 100 members of Minnesota's Somali community rallied at the state capitol Saturday in support of the families of six men arrested after they were accused of trying to join ISIS in Syria. UN Care reports.
Waving signs calling for the release of the six accused, the crowd chanted in support of their families. The protesters say the community has been unfairly victimized by the accusations. Rally organizer Mahmoud Noor said the men who the FBI allege attempted for months to join the terrorist group ISIS are innocent until proven guilty.
These young men were U.S. citizens. They were born and raised here. So they deserve to have a fair trial.
Noor also called on state leaders to support the Somali community to find who is radicalizing young people. The FBI alleges it was the young men who radicalized themselves through their own discussions. UN Care, Minnesota Public Radio News.
This is the NPR News Update. We come your way every day around noon. It's Minnesota's news on your schedule. There's been a sharp increase in the number of dogs being killed by wolves in northern Minnesota. In the last 5 weeks, six dogs have been killed, four seriously injured, and that's more dogs than were killed by wolves in the entire state last year. Most of the incidents have taken place near Duluth. Dan Crocker has more.
Earlier this month, as Lori Anderson stepped outside to get the mail, her 12-pound poodle, Curly Moe, came rushing towards her.
And he was snarling. He was mad, definitely mad, on the run.
The dog ran right past her. Anderson turned around and just 15 feet away.
There was a big gray timber wolf. The wolf grabbed Curly by the neck and headed down toward what we call the West Branch of the Knife River. And I never seen my little dog again.
Anderson lives on 35 acres in a fairly rural area between Duluth and Two Harbors, where the North Woods starts to mix with residential areas. Residents like Bob Van Gilder say they're seeing a lot more wolves than they used to. One night, late last fall, his black lab disappeared. The next morning, Van Gilder found his remains on the edge of the woods.
It was a pretty gross sight for your one of your good friends, you know, and looking into his eyes as he laid there.
Like many of his neighbors, Van Gilder loves seeing wildlife and loves hearing the wolves, just not so close to his house.
We have to do something to control them. To keep them out of the residential area, they belong back in the woods is where they belong.
But options are limited since a federal judge placed wolves back on the endangered species list in December. That decision prevents the state from holding a managed wolf hunt. Now wolves can only be killed in defense of human life. But if an attack on pets or livestock is verified, federal trappers can trap and kill wolves caught within a half mile of the incident. John Hart oversees the program at the USDA Wildlife Services Office in Grand Rapids. So far this year, he says trappers have killed 20 wolves, half were in response to attacks on dogs.
Our goal is to try to remove those wolves that have killed or injured domestic dogs so that more domestic dogs don't get killed or injured.
Wolves primarily eat white-tailed deer, but every year they kill a small number of livestock and dogs. Over the past 9 years, wolves have killed around 100 livestock animals and about 6 dogs a year on average across northern Minnesota. Kip Duncan, a DNR conservation officer who covers the townships north of Duluth, says he's personally investigated 5 dog deaths since late last fall.
Within the last half a year, we've had, I would say, probably a spike of wolves that are coming in and going after some domestic animals.
Wolves sometimes kill dogs to defend their territory, but Duncan says all 5 dogs were taken from yards. One was chained to a doghouse, and he says all were eaten.
Our deer population is down. We've had some rough winters, and wolves have to eat, of course. And people bring deer in by feeding. The deer come to people's houses through bird feeders and getting attracted that way, and that brings the wolves closer as well.
DNR officials say dog owners living in wolf country should take precautions, but not panic. Dan Stark is the agency's large carnivore specialist.
Wolves live in a lot of different places in northern Minnesota and don't cause problems, and people rarely have interactions with them. It is just something to be aware of, and in some cases, cautious about it.
He recommends feeding pets inside, fencing yards, and keeping dogs leashed if necessary. The DNR estimates there are about 2,400 wolves in Minnesota. The population is healthy, stable, and near where a lot of people live and enjoy the outdoors. It sounds cliche, Stark admits, but he says we need to find a way to coexist in those areas. Dan Crocker, Minnesota Public Radio News, Duluth.
And staying on the subject of wolves, officials at Isle Royale National Park say they have no immediate plans to restore the state's dwindling wolf population. But putting new wolves on the island is something they're considering, as Matt Sepik reports.
Wildlife ecologists from Michigan Tech said last week that just 3 wolves remain on the Lake Superior Island. They want the Park Service to restore the wolf population to keep growing moose numbers in check. But Isle Royale Superintendent Phyllis Green says that'll require thorough study first.
How many, where from, how frequently will you do it? There's a lot of pragmatic types of things to consider.
Green says she hopes to begin the study process in the next 2 months. She says it'll likely take 2 to 3 years. Matt Sepik, Minnesota Public Radio News.
A man died after a canoe with him and 2 other males capsized on a metro area lake. The Ramsey County Sheriff's Department received a call at about 12:15 yesterday to Twin Lake in Little Canada. Witnesses had seen the canoe capsized and quickly rescued 2 of the occupants, but one man went under the water and didn't resurface. Boats and divers searched the lake until about 4 in the afternoon when they recovered a body. The Ramsey County Medical Examiner has not released the name of the victim. Thursday marks the end of MnSure's special enrollment period for people hit with a tax penalty for going without health insurance last year. Mark Zadeklik reports.
The state's insurance exchange opened up enrollment March 1st to help minimize a second tax penalty for people who remain uninsured this year. Those who take advantage of the special enrollment opportunity now will have an insurance policy in place by June 1st. They'll still face penalties for not having insurance January through May, but by securing coverage now, they can avoid penalties for the remaining 7 months of the year. The penalty for not having health insurance under the Affordable Care Act goes up sharply for this year. Mark Zadeklik, Minnesota Public Radio News.
Crews have started to prepare land at the future site of the University of Minnesota Rochester campus. Elizabeth Baer has more.
Workers are clearing approximately 2 acres of land just south of downtown Rochester. The site was once the location of a couple restaurants and a gas station. UMR's Assistant Vice Chancellor Jay Hesley says crews will take about 8 weeks to prepare the land for eventual construction.
They'll have to remove all of the pavement, portions of the topsoil. They'll come back with a layer of sand, some new topsoil, and then there'll be some professional landscaping that goes on that space.
UMR bought the parcel in 2009 for approximately $2 million. It's part of the university's larger 10-acre footprint to build a campus in Rochester. Elizabeth Baer, Minnesota Public Radio News, Rochester.
And finally, the Minnesota Wild will take on the Chicago Blackhawks in the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs after beating the St. Louis Blues yesterday afternoon in St. Paul. The Wild ended up winning the series 4-2. Peter Cox was at the game.
Ryan Normandin traveled a long way to get to the Xcel Energy Center. The Minneapolis resident had his ticket in hand and a Wild flag wrapped around his shoulders yesterday afternoon. He didn't get to see the last game.
I didn't get a chance to watch it. I just came back.
Just got home from deployment.
Just got back from deployment yesterday. I was in Kuwait.
The Minnesota Army National Guardsman watched a few games overseas, but wanted to see one in person.
When I could, yes. Some of it was on replay on the internet, but not as much as I would have liked to. So I figured, I came back, I contacted this guy, and I'm like, we need to go to some playoff games. So I'm pretty excited to see them progress the way they have, especially this season.
And progress they did. The Wild, which have never won a series in less than 7 games, beat the St. Louis Blues 4-1 and took the first-round series in 6 games. It didn't take long for the Wild to score. A little more than 7 minutes in, Minnesota native and Wild star Zach Parise drove up the left side of the ice and unleashed a snapshot from the side of the net that snuck through an almost imperceptible gap between the pipe and St. Louis goalie Jake Allen's right arm. The crowd erupted. The Wild scored again midway through the second period, but with just 4 seconds left in the period, the Blues put one in, making it a 1-goal game. Just 1 minute into the third period, the margin went back to 2 when Parise struck again, putting away a rebound on the doorstep of the St. Louis net. Parise dropped to one knee and pumped his fist into the air.
I was really excited. I was really happy after that one, just with them getting the late one in the second. You know, just we wish we would have been able to come in here after the second, up 2-0, unfortunately. Got a little life, and we were able to get one right away. So, yeah, I was pretty pumped up.
The Wild notched an empty net goal with 2 minutes left to clinch the game. As the horn sounded, fan Nate Wittenberg of Park Rapids said he feels the team might have what it takes to head deep into the playoffs.
It's big. It's big for the state of hockey. St. Louis Blues is a tough out. If you want to talk about destiny, I think it's our time. We earned it. It's us.
The effort was bolstered by the play of Wild goalie Devin Dubnyk, who was just named as one of the 3 candidates for the Vezina Trophy for the best goalie in the National Hockey League. Yesterday, Dubnyk turned away 30 of 31 St. Louis shots. Wild coach Mike Yeo gave the goalie credit for setting the tone.
You know, when your goalie's playing confident, when the heat is on, I think that the rest of the group feeds off that.
Parise said the team played the second half of its season against a wall, having to fight back to get into a playoff spot. He says that gave them good preparation for the postseason.
We've been doing that for a long time. You know, we haven't really had a lot of room for error. We've been playing in tight games. We've been playing in games for a long time that we've had to win, and so we're comfortable doing that, and we were able to capitalize when we had some chances tonight.
Yo praised the Blues, who exited the playoffs in the first round for the 3rd straight year, but put up a fight against the Wild.
That's a heck of a hockey team, very well coached hockey team. You have to fight for every inch out there, and so to be here and start getting ready for the second round is a great accomplishment for our group.
The Wild will have a day off today, and then we'll start preparing for the Chicago Blackhawks. That series begins later this week. Peter Cox, Minnesota Public Radio News.
And that's the NPR News Update for Monday, April 27th. I'm John Wanamaker. Thanks for listening.